We're Madison Violet, and this song is called Stuck in a Love.
No, it won't be easy, but I'll bite my tongue. Give myself completely while the fight is still young. If it's a premonition of the things compelled to come, there ain't nothing I can do that ain't already been done. Stuck in love, stuck in love, gone wrong. Stuck in love that cared more about the song. Stuck in love, stuck in love, gone wrong. There ain't nothing left to sing that ain't already been sung.
I remember the day my heart fell fast asleep. I was dreaming of days when they held lovers in the key. I was thinking of nights when we would have walked a different beats. Ain't no promise I could make, now crying through my teeth.
Stuck in love, gone wrong. Stuck in love that cared more about the song. Stuck in love, gone wrong. There ain't nothing left to sing that ain't already been sung. Stuck in love, gone wrong. Stuck in love that cared more about the song. Stuck in love, gone wrong. There ain't nothing left to sing that ain't already been. Stuck in love, gone wrong. Stuck in love that cared more about the song. Stuck in love, gone wrong. There ain't nothing left to sing that ain't already been sung.
Live from NoHo 2 Studio, it is the Enter the Shell Show, and I'm joined by Madison Violet, which you can find on their website, madisonviolet.com. Guys, welcome to the show. Thank you so much. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was quite the pleasure. I got to see you guys really early in the morning, and the best part, though, was you guys were driving in, and I recognized your guys' faces because I went and I stalked you guys and, you know, saw all your videos and stuff.
That was you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought it was a car recognition. You
know? but the best part was Brenly, right?
Yeah.
You were driving, and I gave you two options. There was one parallel parking option, and then there was kind of – it wasn't necessarily parallel parking, but it was just a straight shot. And I found it interesting because you opted for the not parallel parking part. Do you have trouble with parallel parking?
Actually, well, at least answer this one.
Brindley is a mean parallel parker, and it's so funny because, I mean, we are just wiped this morning, but she chose the easy option, and then just butchered it.
Yes, I did. I hit the curd 3 times.
Oh.
But in my defense, I haven't eaten in almost 24 hours, and I'm a grumpy bear. But I'm not a grumpy bear today. Instead, it turned me into a poor Parker.
She's hangry.
Clearly. Yes.
Well, I mean, you are fitting that motif of a hungry musician, you know, poor, starving kind of thing. Is that an accurate portrayal for this tour?
I think we've just been in L.A. traffic jams, and so we have not had time, and I just can't eat Jack in the Box or Carl Jr.'s or whatever it is. And so until we can find something like this wicked Mexican restaurant that I'm...
Yeah, mucho más.
Yes, we will be going there after.
Yeah, are you guys fans of tequila?
Love it.
Oh. Are we?
I don't know if we're going to be, you know, drinking it today, but yeah. You never know.
They have a great peach and mango margarita. Last time I got some flack because I was just, you know, orgasming over the peach, but they're like, no, you remember the mango. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm a fan of the mango and that nice. Kind of genre with my tequila.
Yum.
You're making me thirsty.
Well, if you need water, let me know. I can get you
some
water.
That's not going to cut it.
You need some alcohol. What kind of alcohol are you guys into?
You know what? I'm kind of a scotch lover. I like really Lagavulin, really nice smoky 18-year-old scotch is kind of my new... Well, the last couple of years, I've been really liking it. If I can't find a good scotch, then, you know, Crown and ginger or something is not too bad.
This guy, one of my friends, his name's Kevin. One night we were just drinking like bastards, and he lures me to his home, and he pulls out this really old bottle of scotch. And I'm not much of a scotch drinker, only because I think my flavor, my taste buds are kind of warped with gin. I'm a big gin drinker.
Ah.
So I think that kind of, you know, I don't know. Gin makes a man mean from what I hear. I don't know. But he pulls out this bottle of scotch.
Does it make him gentle?
But I'm bah! You're funny.
I'm too witty for my own good sometimes. It's just too weird.
No, that's great. I'm gonna use that. But he pulls out this bottle of scotch. And he's all, you know, very happy and excited about it. And I drink it, and I make the most sourpuss face in the world because, I don't know, maybe does old scotch, does it have to taste like a sole of a rubber, you know, of shoe? That's what it tastes like to me. It tastes like a warped rubber that's been worn in a shoe for like 1,000 years. And it left my tongue just really...
that sounds good.
Say that again. Just say it a little bit slower.
Yeah.
Just don't leave anything out.
But let's talk about winning awards. I want to know your guys' kind of thought behind that. Do you look at an award and say like, hey, you know, we're being recognized? Or do you just look at an award as like, oh, okay, this is just something extra added value?
I mean, I think it is added value, but obviously we appreciate anything that comes our way. It's we were talking yesterday about you see these artists that win awards and go, ah, you know, they poo-poo everything. And it's like, well, you know, for us, I think it's, I'm honored alongside of other artists that we're nominated with, you know, artists that we respect and appreciate their music. And so it's, you know, I'm totally happy with anything we win or don't win. Could that be more of a political answer?
Yes, it can be.
I'm Switzerland.
I don't think it would prevent us or, you know, like if we had never won an award by this time that we would quit. I mean, it doesn't have that much, you know.
Kind of weight.
Yeah. So, but it's nice, you know, and like Lisa said, when you're recognized amongst a bunch of other bands that you know really, really like and have been listening to, then it's like, oh, this is cool. You know, somebody else likes all these bands and us.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I bring this up is because you guys have won a slew of Juno Awards. And if you can explain to people kind of what that is.
Well, we have to interject because the truth is we've never won a Juno Award. We've been nominated for a Juno Award.
It's pretty much winning to me because it's you know, you're up there and it's like, look, we have these 5 people. We would love to give these 5 people an award.
Right.
But in theory, we can't.
Okay,
I don't know why.
Well, let me pretend I didn't say that then. Thank you. All the Juno Awards we've won are all over my grandparents' mantle. No. What was the question again?
Well, you guys are getting nominated, you know, at least every year, I want to say, you know, for the past 5-6 years, you've been nominated. And with that comes a lot of, I don't know, you know, that, which is why I kind of asked a question about the whole award theme, because, you know, going into this next album, The Good in Goodbye, you know, do you have that in the back of your mind? Like, hey, man, like we kind of have this streak of being nominated going in. Does that hinder when you go into making this album?
No, I don't think that ever crosses our mind when we're making a record. I mean, we officially called ourselves the Susan Lucci's of the music industry for a long time there, because we were, you know, sort of always the bridesmaid. And that's never crossed my mind when we're in the studio. We're just trying to make good music and make something that feels authentic and real to us. And if people appreciate it and there's something that comes from it, then awesome. If not, well, you know, we dig it.
I will say this about Susan Lucci. Everybody always says, oh, we're the... But remember, she
eventually.
Exactly.
Eventually. It took a long time, though.
And I don't know if that win was a political win or a real win. Mm. You know, and that's what I hate sometimes about movie awards, especially like the movies, like the, what's the main one? The Oscars, mm-hmm. right? They'll give a director an Oscar 20 years later for a flick that they did that they're just like, well, you're due for one. And we felt bad that, you know, you got passed mm-hmm. up on these other, you know, things, you know, and then they're like, oh, here you go. So to me, it doesn't mean that much when winning something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll look at it. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your guys' growth. Now, you guys have been...
It removed recently.
Was it purple? Was it...
Green.
Green? That could be a bad thing, but I'm glad you got it removed. You must have excellent... you guys have universal care.
We do. We're very, very lucky. You know, I'm not getting political at all, but we are lucky to have healthcare.
Yeah, universal healthcare. Was that, you know, I always get a lot of conflicting reports about universal healthcare and how it could be a gift and a curse at the same time. I'm interested on your guys' perspective of that, since you guys do go through that process.
Well, I mean, neither of us have been directly affected by free healthcare. Like, you know, neither of us have had a sickness that if you had to wait for 6 months to have something diagnosed, you know, you could possibly die. You know, you wait a long time for an MRI in Canada, but you do have the choice to go and pay for it. You know, you can go down to the States if you want a quick MRI or quick something else. I think it's amazing for that no one is turned down for healthcare. No one gets thrown out of the hospital because they don't have a legitimate insurance company to pay for things. And I think that's wonderful, and I wish that the whole world was that way, because we're human beings. But yeah, of course, there's a downside to having free healthcare too. You get people to start to abuse it, go to the doctors 3 times a week or more because there's hypochondriacs and you know, and then there's people who are really sick and can't get an exam for what they need for a month.
But I mean, look, both of our parents have had heart operations. My father had a quadruple bypass, and you know, it's free.
Yeah.
I mean, if it wasn't, he probably wouldn't be around right now.
Well, thank God for your guys' healthcare. Maybe I'll become Canadian.
Visit.
Yeah. Do I look Canadian? I don't know if Canadians have a look or not.
I don't know. We're like all mixed, kind of Scottish Irish looking, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a perfect Scottish Irishman.
You look like you have a little Irish in you, maybe a little bit of Eastern European in you too. I don't know.
Maybe I do. I don't know. I have to look at my lineage and see what's going on with that. But speaking of lineage, you guys have been a band for what, like 6-7 years now, I want to say?
Close, 12.
12 years.
Yeah.
So with any band, it's all about maturing and growing. And I'm interested to know about your guys' maturity. Do you feel that you guys peaked already as far as like the mature part about the not only the business side, but personal side?
Oh, I really hope not. I don't like that word, peaked.
Peaked usually means you're on your way down.
Yeah. I really hope we're just still climbing. You know, life is just getting more exciting as we go. And I have a lot more things that I want to to create, you know,
and learn,
so I hope the day I die is the day I peak.
Nice. I like that.
I'm so moved.
Yeah. Yeah. tell me about this album that is out, The Good in Goodbye. Your guys' music is, you know, usually centered around your guys' vocals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And tell me about complementing your vocals. Was it this album where you decided, hey, you know, I think we should add in a fiddle or something more earthy to it to add to your vocals?
No, we've always had the fiddle since day one. I think I just, as we got into our third album and now our fourth album, we've just gotten a little more stripped down, a little more organic, more stringed instruments, less drum programming, and a lot less, you know, instrumentation that can get in the way of the vocal and of the harmony. Like our harmonies are the two most important instruments in the song, and whatever else works to create a nice
kind of atmosphere for that.
Yeah, or nice canvas, then that's what we go with. Sometimes it's a banjo and sometimes it's a fiddle, mm-hmm, or a clarinet or tuba. Hopefully tuba.
Yeah, tuba.
Tuba.
We're looking forward to getting tuba on the record sometime.
That's interesting. I would like to hear some of that tuba-ness.
That would be nice.
Do you ever just write a song and say, you know what, this actually needs a tuba in it?
I pretty much think all of our songs could use a tuba.
You know what I like? I like how you guys are using the harmonica. I'm a fan of that instrument. And the funny thing about that instrument is that, like, there's the harmonica, but there's like 1,000 different harmonicas that you can use. So like when I see a harmonica player, what I like is I get the vision of like John Popper, where they have that, like, you know, big old like bandolero of just nothing but harmonicas. I think that's like so cool. Are you thinking about getting a bandolero with
just to wear through the airport security, actually, just so I can really turn around, piss off everyone behind me in the line.
She's
giving. Yeah. Very giving.
I could tell you like to mess with people. You're like, kind of.
Only when she's hangry.
Only when I haven't eaten in 24 hours.
Well, we'll get into that. We're going to take another break, and we are going to hear Cindy, all that coming up next, right here on the Enter the Shell show.
One, two, three, four.
Whiskey way down in Rockingham. Rockabye home, Cindy. Rockabye home and stay. Rockabye home, Cindy. I'll marry you someday. Cindy in the summertime, Cindy in the fall. Cindy all the time, I won't have none at all. Rockabye home, Cindy. Rockabye home and stay. Rockabye home, Cindy. I'll marry you someday. Well, if I was an apple hanging on a tree, every time that Cindy passed, she'd take a bite of me. Rockabye home, Cindy. Rockabye home and stay. Rockabye home, Cindy. I'll marry you someday. We'll be right back. country. The other I looked in town. Rockabye home, Cindy, Cindy. Rockabye home and say rockabye home, Cindy, Cindy. I'll marry you someday.
MadisonViolet.com. You can find them at. I implore you to go check out that website. And, you know, the cornerstone of folk has always been that whole storytelling over instrumentation and just like connecting with the audience. And that's what I really like about folk music is that kind of interaction in between songs and stuff like that. Have you guys looked at that element as kind of the key for you guys? Or do you think that the key for you guys is mainly your music?
I would have to say that that connection in between songs as well as when we're performing is integral. I mean, if without that, it's not a show. You might as well just buy the record and stay at home and listen to it. There needs to be a conversation kind of happening, the way I see it, between the audience and the performer and us. Because it's, you know, it's like, it'd be like, I don't know. It's even though the audience isn't talking back, there's an energy that's being exchanged, and it's beautiful. And if you don't have that, like if you get a bad audience or just having a bad night, then the energy gets, you know, there's an imbalance or something, and it doesn't work. And if we find ourselves like in a place where we can't, it's hard to engage, then it's not going to go well.
On this tour, have you gotten any of those aspects or elements from the tour?
Not yet, thankfully. I think we're pretty lucky that for us, I mean, the audience that comes to see us, I think know that that's part of our show, and they do give back what we, not what we ask of them, but they give back what we give them, I think.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys receive a lot of letters from your fans?
Yes, we do. We both get lots of letters. Brenly gets usually the additional treatment of the people who think that I may be a bit more guarded than her.
Really?
I admit it. I may have a bit more of a wall up. Brenly's little miss, you know, I'm open and free like a bird. So then, you know, you have people that think that their wedding proposal that night is going to happen, you know, and then it goes on from there. Yeah, she gets the odd stalker or two.
The odd.
Do you think that is because you are so open?
Yeah, I think I'm, you know, and generally fairly an open person, good natured, I guess. And so when I meet a fan and they share a story with me or something, I'm, you know, completely engaged and into it. And sometimes it gives off the wrong idea, unfortunately.
Are you ever worried that, you know, Lisa might be giving off not necessarily the wrong vibe, but because you are so guarded, you know, do when a fan is engaging you, walk away or?
No, not that at all. I think, you know, when Brenly takes them in the bathroom, in the dressing room, that's when it gets, that's where it goes awry. No, I wouldn't say, I'm definitely, we go out after every show and sign, and I think I'm, you know, I'm out there conversing. I think there's just, I draw a line, you know, there's a line between the dude who says, I want to, you know, if it's okay after the show, I'd like to donate sperm, you know,
wow.
It's those guys that it's like, you know, buddy, maybe later, but not now.
At least you're giving him the option. maybe.
No, it's, I don't know. I think in that sort of situation, Brenly may be like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. But I'd be like, dude, back the truck up.
Yeah.
You know?
It must be hard being on the road, just two ladies as lovely as yourselves, with men, you know, trying to, you know, get at you guys. Lisa, I'm very attracted to you. Brenly, You're hot too, but you know, my thing is more with the Lisa, you know, element. Although I will say this, Lisas are very notorious in my book. I've known quite the few, and it's all been bad. Just bad. Brenly's, you're the first Brenly I've ever met.
So not too many of us.
They're not, but you know what? I like them. Just judging by you. To base all the other Brenly's. If I meet you and your name is Brenly, chances are I'm probably going to like you. But do you guys feel safe on the road, just you two?
Yeah, we don't have.
We're smart.
Yeah.
I think we've got the, we know what not to do. There's you just need road wits, and we've been doing it for so long that I think we learned.
Do you guys carry like brass knuckles or anything like that?
We carry it all. Just for all those listeners out there in our crazy town.
Come on, pull out your nunchucks.
but being on the road, you know, it must suck because you guys are from Canada. So you guys travel. I mean, you guys are here in the States. And I think I saw something like you guys were in Germany or something like that just a while ago. So all that traveling, especially in the air, because I know you're not driving, you know.
No.
So all that gear, you know, I'm surprised you guys haven't lost any of your gear yet or anything like that.
We've been really lucky, actually. And, you know, we have a really good road manager and that it's always counting and making sure that everything's there. And when it's just the two of us out there, which thankfully doesn't happen that often anymore because it's a really big job, we just count our pieces and, yeah,
hope for the best.
Yeah.
What do you do to separate from each other? Because being with each other 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it gets crazy. I remember I was in the Marines, and I worked and lived with the people that I worked and lived with. And that was just, it was too much. I was like, why would the Marines do this? I mean, I get why, because, you know, they're building camaraderie. And, you know, if I'm in the foxhole with this guy, the supply guy, you know, I know everything about him. So, of course, I'm going to want to make sure that we're all cool and stuff. But I, you know, the weekends would come and I just needed to get away. I'm like, dude, I like you. You're cool. You're my friend. But guess what? I need some me time. How do you guys get your me time?
Well, when we get off the road, you know, if we've got 2 weeks off, quite often we don't see each other in those 2 weeks.
No emails, no nothing.
No. There's never a day that we don't, you know, there's business to take care of. There's decisions to make and we need to, you know, our management's talking to us. So we need to decide together if, yeah, we want to do that or we don't want to do that. So there's hardly ever a day that goes by that we're not in some kind of contact. Unless we go on vacation, and then sometimes we really, you know, step away, and it's nice. It keeps it it keeps it so that we can tolerate one another when it is. I mean, we get along great. We're really good friends, but sometimes we get to each other. It's like it's a marriage, right? You're in each other's faces all the time, and you need to learn how to compromise. That's a big thing, is compromise.
How long did it take for that compromise to settle in? As far as, you know, at the very beginning, there's always kind of one person in charge, and then later on, that's when all the compromisation starts beginning, when you start looking at each other as equals rather than, okay, this is just me doing this and this is just you doing this.
10 years. No, I think we're both Libras, so I think we're very good at balancing out each other on the road when things, you know, get challenging, balancing out the business side,
it took us a number of years to learn how to delegate, you know, certain tasks and figuring out what Lisa's better at and what I'm better at. It's like anything, it's like any job. You may sign up to be a gas attendant or something, you know, pumping the gas, and realize that you're not a very good gas pumper, but you're really good at the till. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like that. I mean, we are musicians, but we're also very much in the business side of our music as well. So we need to learn. I mean, Lisa's a better fiddle player, so we let her play the fiddle.
It works out that way. Well, what are you good at?
Nothing, actually. Nothing. Nothing. I don't do anything. I just sleep all day.
Well, I'm hoping you just witnessed what she's good at. But.
Yeah. You mean the business side of stuff?
Yeah.
I'm good at, like, you know, making sure that there's enough money in the bank to pay for all the bills and that kind of stuff.
Head.
I got a business head. I used to, before I started doing music, I you know, studied business for a bit. And so I figure, I make sure that we've got enough. I know that, you know, 8 months down the road, we got enough money coming in to pay for what we need to pay for today.
That's a truly good, because you're kind of looking into the future. You know, you always have to live kind of 8 months ahead of time. Do you ever just stop and live for right now, the very moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, because we are performers, we're always in the moment. You know what I mean? I'm never up on stage playing a show to someone and thinking 8 months down the road if I'm going to be able to pay for the car rental that we're here. You know, there's certain times of the day where you step into business mode and you go, okay, let's have a look at the situation and start planning and making sure that we're going to be all right.
Well, I think you guys are more than all right. I think you guys are fine. And we are going to take another break, and I'm going to put you guys in the celebrity corner because I'm interested to see your thoughts on celebrity and all of that. But we are going to hear another song, and that is If I Could Love You. All that coming up next right here on the End of the Shell Show.
Like a stranger throwing caution to the wind, we are looking in the same direction. I'm afraid your heart is looking another way. Do 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 do, do 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 do. Your heart is looking another way. The river is all dried up. I will always feel it there. I'll always hear it flicker in my prayer. I'll paint it red, I'll paint it white. I won't give up this fight. I could love you one more time. I would love. Not deliberate, we went wrong. I got used to feeling nothing till you came along. Now I'm begging you, drop your guard, take all of our mistakes, bury them in the yard. I could love you one more time. I would love you right, yeah, if I could love you one more time. I would love you right, do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do.
Time to get into the celebrity corner. And with all the traveling that you guys do you ever run into any celebrities?
We did recently run into Gavin Rossdale of the band Bush in Austria.
How was that?
Roadside truck stop. Yeah. It was cool. He was, you know, Lisa recognized him actually. She's great at celebrity recognition. As a matter of fact, the first time we were ever in LA together, I remember we were walking down the street and Lisa said, there's a...
Cher.
No, it was Blues Brothers guy.
Dan Aykroyd.
And I go, yeah, there he is talking to Steven Spielberg.
What?
And then about 15 minutes later, Cher walked by with her entourage. It was like crazy town.
This was almost 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow, that must have been a very surreal experience because like those people are not usually together.
Well, it was, I don't know what was, maybe there was an event or something going on, but I think we were literally just walking down the street.
We walked by them. They were standing there talking. Yeah, it was really crazy.
And I'm not one to like, I'm not one of those people who's like usually calm and cool. I'm like, yay, look. I was walking in, where was I recently? In New York City. And for anybody who watches the Food Network, I was walking and I saw Bobby Flay walk up and I'm like, hey! it was really bad.
I'm more of a Guy Fieri guy than Bobby Flay. I don't know, Bobby Flay, he just seems
you
a little...
What is it? Diners,
3D?
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
Oh, yeah. That's my go-to all the time.
I'm a Food Network junkie.
My favorite celebrity sighting actually was seeing David Suzuki at the Vancouver airport. And I thought it would be so cool. What, do you know David Suzuki?
Yeah, he's the guy.
The Nature of Things. He should be our prime minister. But anyway, we'll work on that. But he was walking by, and I thought it would be so cool if I met him. And I screamed, I love you, David Suzuki!
At the airport.
At the airport.
So he took cover. He backed away quickly.
Man, talk about your crazy fan. Finally, you're on the other end of that.
I know.
But moving right along... do you guys have smartphones?
Yes.
Do you guys play Angry Birds?
I do. And I heard that there's the new floaty one, the Angry Birds Space. I haven't gotten it yet, but...
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Another thing that's going to be new to all you Angry Bird fanatics is they're actually making an animated series just for, like, your phone. Can
cool.
you believe that? Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome. I wondered if they'd have an Angry Birds movie. Like, I could see it coming out for sure. So this makes sense.
I've always wondered why. What makes the Angry Birds so angry? You know, there has
crabs.
To be.
Crabs.
There has to be a reason why these Angry Birds are constantly angry. So maybe the animated series will actually dive into that. It's supposed to be 52 episodes, and it's going to run 2013 to 2014.
Wow.
So a whole year of nothing but, you know, Angry Birds animated series, which is interesting. Do you guys like animated series?
I do. I mean, I used to watch The Simpsons all the time. I've seen The Odd Family Guy, which I'm just blown away by what they get away with on that show. They cross a lot of lines.
Yeah.
I'm
more of a King of the Hill guy. Like,
yeah.
Hank Hill, to me, you know, I wish I could be as cool as him. You know, I look at him and he just leads this very mundane life, but it's so mundane that it's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, just the kind of minutiae that he talks about of little things about cutting grass or whatever. It's just, I don't know. It's interesting.
I still think that Looney Tunes sort of far surpass all cartoons, though, you know.
Oh yeah. Do you watch the new Looney Tunes that's out now, where it's more of a reality show based, where it's Daffy and Bugs living together in a home?
No, cool. Is
it's
good?
Spectacular. She's a girl on Saturday Night Live, Kristen Wiig. Oh. She actually is on there, and she plays the voice of Lola.
Oh, I love Kristen Wiig.
Oh, she plays an amazing Lola. Like, the character is like even more lovable. You may recognize Lola. She was on Space Jam. I don't know if you guys ever saw that movie.
Yeah.
But in Space Jam, they made her completely 180 and like very Valley-esque and ditzy in this new animated show, the Looney Tunes show, which, like I said, I highly, highly recommend. Daffy Duck, to me, is stealing that show blindly, as he should. You know, I've always liked Bugs Bunny, but Daffy, for some reason, he's just the jerk that just is hilarious and funny, and I don't know, he makes jerks seem cool even though they're not.
I just like when Bugs puts on a dress.
Yeah.
Because his personality really shines.
His or hers?
It's.
Its personality really. Androgynous.
I'm not sure if Bugs is a boy or a girl or whatever Bugs is.
Yeah. Moving right along. Do you guys enjoy The Muppets?
Love them.
Yes.
Well, it seems that the movie was so successful that they're actually thinking about bringing back the show, The Muppet Show.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, it's a TV, and I'm curious about your guys' thoughts on that.
That's a tough one.
I don't know. I love it. If they can make it kind of like the way it used to be, you know, right. Get some great new musical guests and stuff. I think it'd be incredible. That's like a dream to be on the Muppet Show.
Yeah.
Maybe it's possible now because it, you know.
Maybe they can get a really cool band like Madison Violet, you know, guys, directors, producers.
We could do the Rainbow Connection.
Oh, I love the Rainbow Connection. That song really makes me cry.
Oh, that's what we're going to do next, actually.
Oh, okay. Deal. So that's something to look forward to. That's going to be, again, 2013, 2014 timeframe. So a lot of cool things happening kind of in the future. Lastly, speaking of the future, you know, Paul McCartney just talked about this stigma that he really doesn't like about, like, a lot of bands being, you know, called the next Beatles or something like that. And he says that that's kind of a precursor to them not doing well because there's just so much pressure to live up to that. And I'm very curious about that aspect as far as, you know, a lot of people, they try to say, oh, you're the next so-and-so. And it's like, you shouldn't strive to be the next so-and-so. You should always try to be the only so-and-so, you know. You should only try to be, you know, only Madison Violet. I think a lot of times we really get pressured into believing into the hype of wanting to be something that we're not. And it's like, hey, just be you. You know, what's wrong with that? You don't have to be the next people. What are your thoughts on that?
I think if a band is being called the next Beatles, you know, I doubt they gave themselves that label. I highly doubt it. I don't think any band wants to be the next Beatles. They may want to have the success and the glorification of what the Beatles, you know, but not, they're definitely not calling themselves the next Beatles. And I think every band that goes out is, unless you're in a tribute band, you're which, you know, there's lots of tribute bands out there and they probably make more money than we do, but it's certainly not, you know, what our intentions ever been. We've never wanted to be the next
Metallica,
you know. So, that'd be cool. I don't know. It's just people like to just give bands comparisons, I guess.
I think it's for somebody who hasn't heard you before, it's sometimes like the industry tries to put you in this little box so that you're easier to open up. You know what I mean? Easier to access, to find. It's like, well, if you like such and such, then maybe you'll like this.
Kind of a very Pandora rhythm-esque, you know, where they're like, well, if you like this band, you're probably going to like this band type mathematical equation type thing. It's now time for you guys to guess the artist of the week. So I'm going to give you some clues and let's see if you can guess. Okay, this is your first clue. They formed in 1997 and they're from the UK. Okay, there's your first clue. Back in 2009, this band was scheduled to tour the US, but this very last minute, they had to cancel because their frontman was quarantined with swine flu. So there's another. Okay, let me see if I can. Okay.
Coldplay.
Well, hold on. They have four albums out. In 2012, you'll see them headline UK festivals, Tea in the Park and Reading and Leeds. Not only that, but they're also going to be in Coachella. So who's, do you guys have any?
I keep hearing those Coachella ads on the radio.
So I was wrong with Coldplay?
You were wrong.
1997.
Who's going to be at Coachella? I heard that ad so many times. Is that all the hints?
That's all the hints.
You got to have a better hint.
No, I'll tell you what. Go to the blog section on Friday and see who we picked, who the artist of the week is. Cool?
That sounds good.
All right. It's now time for shout outs. Do you guys have any shout outs that you would like to give out?
Hey, Mom. No.
It's always a good one. That's always a good one, you know?
Gee, I don't know.
God, with the one time that we actually have the floor and we're like, well, I don't have anything to say.
That's funny.
No, not really.
Okay. I can't think of any right now. I'm sorry. Again, 24 hours without food.
No worries. We'll try to get some food into you ASAP. We talked earlier, you guys have smartphones. Do you have Stitcher on that?
No, I've never heard of Stitcher.
Well, you guys need to step up your game and make your smartphone even smarter. Log on to Stitcher.com because we are streaming on smartphones. So anywhere you guys go in the world, all you have to do instead of logging on to Enter the Shell is just get Stitcher, type in Enter the Shell in there, and you could stream our cornucopia of podcasts. Cool. that we do on entertheshell.com, because Enter the Shell is more than just podcasts. We do blogs and we do video and all that stuff. So, you know, we're kind of a multimedia thing, kind of a big deal. What do you guys think of the studio, NoHo 2?
It's great.
I love the fact that we're in front of the quote, no soup for you.
Soup Nazi.
Yeah. Oh, Seinfeld.
Yeah, it's very cool. I like the art is really great.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Fun.
It's very, you know what I like? They just, if you look down through the corridor, they just put that in, which is like the different light that goes in through the door. Like, and that changes color. Isn't that cool?
Is it like, it's like a mood ring.
Yeah, exactly. It's a mood corridor.
Cool.
So I really like that. So if you guys ever want to like rent this place out for a little mixer, or like a little industry thing, you know, log on to noho2.com and speak with Mark Doty. It is now time to find out the moral of the show. And I will open up the Demoralizer 3000, say a few magical words so we can find out the moral of today's show. Beatles, Traveling, Bugs, Looney Tunes, Gavin Rosdale, Bandolero, MRI, Gentle, Angry Birds, Muppets, and Tequila. That means it's done if you can rip open up that envelope and read us the moral of today's show.
And the moral for this week is, traveling before 21 and traveling after 21 are two different things. There's a whole other world of red, white, and blue weird out there.
I bet there is. I'm sure you can attest to that.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you guys so much for being on the show. My guests have been Madison Violet. You can check them out, madisonviolet.com. And we are going to leave you now with Come As You Are.
2, 3, 4. Without a war, come as you are. I've found lately you don't come without a war. We lost a little time down in Mount Eliza, thumbing a ride, running from the lies of Georgia. Through the flooding and the rains, honey, there's a sad in your eyes. Gotta wash Georgia out of your heart. Come as you are. I've found lately you don't come without a war. Come as you are. Done a lot of crying at the Seven Hills Diner. April on the Rhine, a flat line. This love got harder. We've been through the desert and the flames. Honey, there's a sad in your eyes. Gotta wash Georgia out of your heart. Come as you are. Without a war.
as you are. Come as you are. I've found lately you don't come without a war.
That's going to wrap it up for another edition of the Enter the Shell Show, and we are out of here. Later.